Welcome to the Unrefined Sophisticates. You are listening to Ken and Morgan Jones. Feel free to tune in on all podcast platforms and make sure to subscribe and comment. It doesn't have to be nice, they just want to hear your input. With that out of the way, get your ears ready, because you're going to want to hear this one. I gotta have my drink, pour me something in the cup. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Countdown. Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. This is episode 196.
Yes.
We here live, direct. I am your host, Ken Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
Oh, and she's fresh off of some flavor. But we'll get back to that in just a moment. We're going to start with our shout outs. We're going to shout out the peoples, the right peoples. And actually, what we're going to say is shout out to everybody that listens. This is what we're going to do this week. We're just going to give a shout out to everybody that has tuned in to check in with us.
Yes.
We ain't going to set no. This show is about togetherness, unity, unifying cultures of all types, unifying all places, demographics. If you listen, we love it. If you like it, we love it. If you don't like it, we still love it because you listen.
It's true.
I basically should be West Coast Khaled as of now.
You special.
You smart.
You made it. You got it.
I wonder if that's annoying to his partner. I wonder if he talks like that to his partner. Whoa, jeez.
I mean, it's annoying to me. So yes.
Yeah. Has anybody ever whispered in your ear trying to be sexy?
Yes. Yes.
Has it ever had the desired effect?
No.
Yeah.
And let me explain why. Setting is always a situation, right? And then,
yes, true that, whisper, true that.
I'm a person that I know I can't whisper. So I will say to you, I can't whisper. Come over here.
Oh.
So that I can talk like normal, because I can't whisper. Shout out to me for being self-aware enough for that, yes. I guess. But like, there, yes, are other people that are just not. So it's like, I'm going to whisper, but I'm screaming in your ear. You're just yelling, bro. You're not doing the thing that you think you're doing. You're just yelling into my eardrum.
Yeah.
I heard you from across the room that you like. Chill.
I've not ever quite got it, because there's whispering is an art.
Yes.
There's an art form to sexy whispering. I'll say
that's a whole different art form.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's people who are breathy whisperers.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah. So is that.
I think, you know that what I'm saying? I think that's what I sound like. That's why I'm like, I can't whisper.
Which I hate those. A lot of the audio recordings of like night meditations, sleep meditations, and so on. They get to talking like that. And it's like, why are you doing that?
It's almost like they don't know they're talking to a mic.
That.
Right? Like, they're, yes, just talking out loud.
So you want to be.
But you're all in the thing. And so it's your mouth is on that microphone.
Yes. And it's catching the.
your ticks, your things, your. Every single thing in your mouth, I'm hearing it. And that's what I'm listening to. That's what I'm paying attention to.
And it's not nice. It's rude.
Shout out, party.
Nobody likes it. That's.
We don't like it.
That's what I came here to say. But I just randomly, I don't know why I even thought about that. But yeah, whispering in ears, figure it out. If not, just talk low to somebody. Talk a little lower. As you said, the settings matter. I love conversations, but there's also a setting. We should not be having a conversation about serious things next to a speaker at an event.
Like, maybe walk away.
Yeah, or just wait till we're like both not drinking and not at an event to be having some type of fun to communicate business. And I understand, like, you see an opportunity, you try to take it, but you know what works great? Instagram. You know what works great? Ooh. Social media in general. You know what works great? The email. All those things. You see how that whisper just flowed in there?
That was a nice whisper.
That was a callback. That's what we call that.
I was a fan of that whisper.
That. You just gotta let it flow. I'm a person that's voice does not carry in public places. So I feel like I have a fair whisper. My voice just doesn't carry. I'm lightweight. How do you say in English?
Where's Carlos?
How do you say? I am jealous of people whose voices carry through a room.
Hello, it's me.
Yeah, that is something that there's a bit of envy that fills my heart when I see it happen, because I don't have the voice to make the room stop. I have a voice where if I'm talking to you closely, it might make you do a little shiver. I don't have the voice that carries across a room to make you pay attention from the other side.
I don't know what it is, but we've talked about this very specifically. Your voice not caring, your voice not being the thing that stops things.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I never like really thought about mine in that moment. My voice will stop everything. You're hearing a different version of my voice in this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Simply
yeah.
because I've been talking all weekend, you know, been doing a lot. But like, yeah. And it's something that I didn't realize until you realize it, right? Until yeah. you know, oh, I made like 17 people back there like look back at me.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that. I was looking for one person, not even in this group. But like, I have that voice. It's absolutely tone. You have a deeper voice, and yeah. deeper voices don't.
Yes,
they do, but they don't. Yes.
So there's a tone of Ambush and Sam Thompson, shout out Sam. They have a voice that the bass rumbles through a space.
Okay.
You can feel the bassiness in their voice.
I will run you that, because I've yeah. heard both of them stop a crowd.
Yes. Shout and out that's a them. They both yeah. got that. If they did a hey, you're gonna to where my A just blends with the ambiance.
Yours is aesthetic. There's
yes.
security. And I don't even mean it.
No, that's hilarious. I've got an aesthetic voice.
yours is like a part of the crowd.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I'm glad for that. For one, I already have the issue with being so big that I feel like I can't blend in. So I'm glad my voice doesn't also attract even more attention on the general of just trying to have a sidebar conversation. But yeah, and I think your voice, even though it's not a deep voice, there is a tone or a frequency in there that manages. And it's no different than like when you're EQing. There's EQ levels that are going to cut through, and you happen to be at a tone that cuts through, which again is great for callbacks and, or what is it? What is it called? When you do the like clap, clap, clap once if you hear me, that thing.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. Whatever that's called. Like, you have a great voice for that. Like, if you were a teacher, you would definitely be the principal that
they would know.
All the kids are like shook up, like, oh man, Mrs. Jones is coming.
I like that. I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sit with that for the rest of this episode and be like, yeah.
Speaking of,
yes,
I went up and put a half a day in out of middle school on Friday.
Like in person.
In person, yeah.
Like on purpose.
On purpose. And it was a time.
What are you, a teacher?
You know? I was telling all the kids that was coming up, because hella kids was just coming like, whose dad are you? And being like,
hold on, stop right now. That's what they would just flat out ask you?
Most of them was, who are you? Or like, what? Because I'm dressed like me. I didn't. You know.
So they're confused. You're obviously a superstar.
No, look, funny thing. I'm gonna get to that in a moment. There was some, are you a parent? I kept telling kids, oh no, I'm checking it out. I'm an eighth grader. I'm just trying to see if this is where I want to go to school at. So I kept giving them those bars. People was asking if I was a parent. I was like, yeah, they're like, who's your kid? I was like, they don't go here. And which wasn't a lie. But what was crazy is me getting.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Not. But I'm gonna tell you before I get into like the deep pieces and parts and all that is that. Okay. So I've said multiple times for that year that I taught, I've not seen any of my students in the wild.
Really?
Yeah, I've yet to see. I thought I saw one, and I wasn't. It was too far away to know. But I'm in here in the lunch room. Sixth grade lunch, looking around, and there's a little kid, and I'm like, that I know exactly who that is. So waited till, you know, he finished up his food and was walking out like, hey, you, what's up, what's your name?
Never AU.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Ew.
So he looked like he gave me his name, and then I was like, where'd you go to elementary school at? And he was like, he said the elementary school. I don't want to give it out on here. Yeah. HIPAA. No. Nah.
Exactly. Wrong and right. All of it.
But he told me. And then I was like, okay, who was your teacher? And then I named the two teachers. And when I said that, because it was either one of the two. And he was like, and he said one of them. And then I was like, I'm Mr. Jones. And he looked like his whole face. He was like,
there's no way.
You're that tall. You didn't look that tall on this. And I was like, I was sitting down the whole time. We were on a screen.
Okay, I just wanted to take a moment to, you didn't look that tall on the thing is probably the funniest ever. Because, baby.
Yeah. It was like.
We all look the same height sitting.
That. Although the funny thing is, I knew he was tiny through the screen.
Okay.
He was definitely, but he's still tiny. And, but he lit up like, oh, so, you know, we started talking a little bit. And then he ended up going out to reset. But then even through the other periods, which were like the way their lunch is set up, you know, sixth grade goes. And then once sixth grade is done, sixth grade goes to their next period. Seventh grade goes to lunch. Same cycle through eighth. And right. So each time that it was breaking, I was in the hallway. So he'd come and make his way back by me. And like, he couldn't believe it. And just being like,
yeah.
Like, so that was tight. And then being in the lunchroom, because basically was just in there helping as like I was another staff. So I was just walking around and interacting. Of course, I think I had my UNC the Shies on. So hella kids was like, oh. They was like putting, I had kids come up and like do the up and down and then give me a thumbs up. I was getting some of that energy. And of course, just being asked, what am I doing? Kept being like, I'm an eighth grader. They wasn't really going for it. But it was interesting seeing the sixth grade energy versus the seventh grade energy. And then the eighth graders, who are essentially the seniors, coming in, and that being where the too cool for school element kicked in. That was dope. Did have a kid come up, like, I know you from somewhere. He's like, and I'm looking at this little light-skinned kid. He's like, they're somewhere, something. So he leaves, he comes back, and then he's like, can we get a picture? Like, okay. So pull out his joint, do the little ussy, and then that, like, click something to where kids at that point felt like, I might as well, I need to get a picture just in case this is somebody.
Plus,
yeah, so turning into an interesting like dynamic. Had some kids come up that had been, I talked to, because I was sidebarring as I'm in the lunch area, people was talking, and you know, I'm stopping, shaking hands, dapping people up, fist bumping, all the stuff. I arm wrestled a kid. That was another thing. A kid came up and challenged me to an arm wrestling match.
I was challenged.
He legit came up and was like, you want to arm wrestle? I was like, what is this coming from? What's the, help me understand where that came from. He's like, I just want to see. And in his demeanor and stuff, I was like, you kind of look like that kid who's a boxer or something.
Right.
Like, you just, some energy about him is like,
that.
There's something extra to you, but he wasn't in a braggadocious kind of way. It was just like that. like how we talk about how UFC fighters look hella regular until you get in a fight. It was that kind of energy that he had. And so
yikes.
I was like, well, after y'all break for lunch, I was like, check with the, I need to make sure that that's even legal before I just jump on the table. So we waited till the cafeteria cleared out, made a quick check-in with the vice principal. We're like, got the green light, sat at the table. And then I was like, you know, of course, wanting to play into it. So I'm like, one, two, three, give him a little bit. And then I was like, I'm going to just hold him up at the top. So I just held him, let him do. He was like, could he hold the side of the table? I was like, yeah, go ahead, grip that. And so he was trying to give it his all. And I kept telling him, you're going to tire yourself out. I'm not even going. I'm just holding still. You're going to tire yourself out. You're
literally just holding him at this point.
Yeah, I just kept it in the center. After I let him get a little bit till I feel himself, and then I brought it back up, just kept it in the center. And again, he's holding the side of the table, trying to give it his all. Then he just burnt out. And I was like, yeah, patience is everything. And I was like, see how I didn't try to struggle with you? Just left it up top. And I was like, you might want to use that because I feel like you may be stronger than some of your peers. So let them just work themselves out. But
moving forward,
some kid came up and gave me a poker chip out of nowhere. I got a black poker chip that I got somewhere in here. He just walked up like, I want to give this to you. And I was like, oh. All right. Well, I was like, is there some meaning? There's nothing on here. And he's like, oh, I just, you know, I keep chips sometimes. And I was like, all right, this better not blow up like, in my pocket or nothing.
And now it's yours.
But yeah, that was a dope moment. Had some kids come up like, you should work here. Like, it was a group of like six boys came in, like, you know, mixed crowd. And then got to meet one of the young dudes that actually be rocking with the brand. He followed the Nine Brand page and has, I've gotten him a couple of pieces here and there. And then, he follows, he shares, he does the things. And so it was a moment of coming around the corner and him seeing like, wait, is that Ken Jones?
Stop.
He's like, what's happening with you? He's like, oh man. Like it was a good, that was a dope, good moment. Shout out Wyatt. Yeah, he
slid in. Shout out to Wyatt. Like, yeah. I'm hearing a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
Somebody.
It was a great feeling. Good vibe. Being around the kids, again, that age range for me is where it's at because the type of person that I am, I mean, like, that's where it hits. Elementary ain't necessarily my jig in the way that being a teenager, getting into the beginning stages of teenagedom, it's like you're not so full of yourself yet, and you don't take yourself so serious, so you got some room to be teased without really getting in your feelings. And yeah, that's the bag. But that was a dope little random moment that I have Friday. Definitely left from there energized. Then actually leaving the building, shout out to my middle kid Karma, because as I was leaving out of there, she had messaged me that she had just turned her last assignment in as a high school child and could essentially take the rest of the year off because she's completed everything, but she's gonna keep going. So had a whole talk with her in a parking lot and
She is. Of course she's going to keep going. That's who Karma is.
I got something icy too. Like, she ain't going to hear this because she don't be listening to this. But I did like try to put together this stuff for her graduation. I made these, her logo. I managed to put them joints. I'll show you later on, but put her logo on the, on some of the, what would you call that? Apron, but like the ones that only go around your waist and have the little pockets, which like I feel like I've seen hairdressers and stuff wear.
That's an apron.
It's a little small little waist apron. And but yeah, I got them customized with her hair logo put on that. So I'm excited to bring that to her. I feel like that's going to be one of her step ups. Branding is everything. You know, you got to look like the complete package.
Branding is everything. Receiving things is everything. I think this was like a month ago. Yeah. So when Lily was in hair school, I made her an apron. Made her an apron, hair apron, and did a put her name on it, right? And okay, maybe not a full month, but when she did my hair, she threw that apron on.
Hey.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's wild. That's familiar. And she was like, you made this when I first started hair school. Whoa. Yo. Whoa. I did. Like, that was my whole... Wow, I kind of forgot about that, right?
Yeah.
Number one, shout out to the rhinestones that I used or whatever.
Did you put them on with tweezers?
Of course I did.
That's so tight to me. I feel like when people do that, that is an extra level of care. Like the energy that takes to have a steady hand to pick up and glue on individual Swarovskis or rhinestones or whatever, that... I don't know. Every time I see somebody doing it, I'm like, damn, that's made with love.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
And yes. Yeah. All of those things. But even in the moment, simply because those were things that I worked with. So it wasn't even like a thought, if you will. Right. So it's just like, of course, I'll use these things.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. Maybe not forgot, but like just assumed it was not a thing, right?
Yeah.
Lily does my hair. That's the only person I let color my hair.
Okay.
So I guess it probably even isn't that I haven't seen it. I just haven't paid attention to it, if that's the thing. Yeah. If she has had it on, I just wasn't paying attention. So this very last time I was just like, whoa. Huh? I made that. Like, I made that so long ago that I can't believe that that's even still intact. That's tight. Right? That's tight. That thing was intact. So that's I just tight. Hope to make karma something in the same way. I want to make something for her that is intact 20 years from now. And she still uses it. That's my plan.
I feel like she's sentimental like that, of holding on to things forever.
Yeah. I just want to show up and make you look bad. That's all.
That's it. I smoke, I drink, I do what I want. That line will forever be funny to me. Whatever song that was from way back in the 2000s, the 2000s. I smoke, I drink, I do that one. It's hilarious forever.
Do we know where they're called the Ots?
You know, the only reason that I know from this is going to sound crazy, a 30-06, and that being a gun, and the first time of seeing that as 30-06, so it may be some military something, I don't know, but that's what I know it from. And I've not really heard many people say, they'll just say the 2000s, and I'd be saying the odds because it sounds way wetter.
I mean, that is what they're called. And I'm like, I don't understand. But I also, every time I hear it, no matter how confused I am, like, well, oh, right. Why do we call it that? I don't look it up.
I wonder. So. Yeah. I don't even know how to spell odds. Let me see if it's in my mind. Is spelled, is it A? So mine, I would have went OU, and it's funny because I just typed it in, and in some, the second thing first is aughts definition, and then the second one is aughts or aughts, my way that I spelled it or your way. I'm gonna see aughts. What?
Give me so it's good.
Both. Aughts is the American English.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, but. O-U-T is the correct verb form for all tenses.
You know that. You know that. I had it wrong.
Why is double O called oughts? They're a compound of no and the words ought and ought. The latter is in its noun sense. Similarly come from Old English, which are similarly compounds of ever. Their meaning are opposites to not and not. They mean anything or all. Dumb.
Gibberish.
Stupid language. And they don't have no
war for that. They don't.
What's hilarious is that I put on a Future This Is Future mix on Spotify, and it was playing hella stuff from the What a Time to Be Alive, and I forgot how much I liked that. And I have burnt it out, so I have not heard it for a while. Oh, revisiting
fair.
I remembered again why I liked it so much initially. Yeah. What a time. And I was alive. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk? It was thoughtin'.
In the odds.
It was the teens, but I mean, who's counting?
Who's checking? I was going to say it again.
We odds to.
That's all I was saying. That's it. We Osta.
We Osta.
Speaking of
dollar bills, y'all.
We talked about money. And I want to continue to talk about money.
So I'll give what the start of that was because of hearing this excerpt that was basically saying that it was asking a question. If I give you a dollar, does that make you rich? And then said, no, was the answer to that in this conversation. And then it was like, well, if I keep adding a dollar to the previous dollar, at some point, you're rich. And when I presented this to Morg, it was like, what is that dollar amount that takes you from not rich to rich?
Right.
Because in breaking this down in a way that's not high, but also sounds like a high thought, what is, if I'm putting dollars in a pile, at what point is this no longer just a pile of money and now this is enough money to call a person rich who is in possession of that? Is there a dollar amount that makes you rich? Which led into the rest of our conversation.
Like what is that dollar amount?
Yeah.
I still don't have the answer to what is the dollar amount. But I have the answer to what I think wealthy means. And I think wealthy means whatever money I have, Morgan Jones, today, that allows however many of my lineage to live in a way where they didn't have to work. That doesn't mean they don't decide to, right? But could never. That is, to me, if you can do 3 to 4 generations. I feel like,
sorry, right quick,
18 generations or something.
No, so I looked up rich. I didn't go to wealthy yet. Wealthy was in the list, but in here, in this article that I'm pulling from this smartasset.com, which popped up, it said that according to the most recent data for the fiscal year 2019, but listen to where this goes. So for 2019, an income of $540,000 per year puts you in the top 1% category. Based on that figure, an annual income of $500,000 or more would make you rich. But the Economic Policy Institute uses a different baseline to determine who constitutes the top 1% and the top 5%. So as of 2021, you're in the top 1% if you earn $819,324 $24 or more a year. The top 5% of income earners make $335,891 per year.
Yeah, that sounds more accurate.
So you need to make approximately $45,000 a month to be rich. I got to get my OnlyFans going. Yikes.
Pull the D out is what...
It's going to be regular stuff. It's just going to be reading bedtime stories, smoking hookah.
And that's not OnlyFans. You can do that on anything else.
Or make it an experience.
I mean, okay, do you, boy. You know?
Maybe I'll get a handy, you know?
Make it happen. A handy while reading a book.
Exactly.
Different situation.
Yes.
And I feel like that makes more of the experience. I don't know. Either way. That's a lot of money.
That is.
It's also not what I would call wealthy. You said to be rich, though.
No, that's just rich. That was rich.
That was and rich.
You can keep going. I'm going to pull that information up.
Go ahead.
So from Schwab's 2022 Modern Wealth Survey. So this takes that. I'm glad they said it. They said that this is highly subjective. They said, but having a net worth of 2.2 million.
That's not wealthy.
You could spend that in a month.
Not in today's
world. You could spend that in a week. You could spend that on a car. So no. All right.
Yeah, back to where we were. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So that's not wealthy. And whatever we're looking at is not tracking wealthy.
Hilarious. How to become rich. Guess what the number one way to become rich is? Mm-hmm. Earn more. Y'all just gave us a bar. What? What? That's.
Excuse you?
Get some more money.
Earn more. B word, I'm trying. Like, what do you.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I would say, like, it is subjective. And things are all different everywhere, depending on where you live, what the money, you know, all the things. That said, mm-hmm. What wealthy means to me is multiple generations of your lineage being able to live totally freely. Totally happily. Uh-huh. Without working. If they don't want to. That's what wealthy means to me. And we talked about what got me into a conversation was you saying, I went to a fundraiser and they were spending money on things that didn't make sense.
Yep.
They're buying things for more money than those things cost. And I was like, yo, the very first time I went to a gala fundraiser, however you say the thing. And I was watching the auction, like, I know what these things are worth. Because I helped put together whatever the package was, right? And it's like, I know what that's worth. And people are starting at thousands more.
Way
than
more.
Thousands more than a retail price, right? And I'm like, what to go on? I don't understand. What is this? Why are you doing it? I don't get it. And they're... Going. So mm-hmm. That's my first experience, right? I go to the second one and I start to understand. Okay. There's a package to go to Paris. Throw that out there. It's completely hypothetical, as they say. There's a package to go to Paris. You want to go. A package, if you bought it on your own, with your credit card on the internet,
mm-hmm.
It costs X amount. And in this moment, you started at three times more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I'm confused. Because I feel like the people that go to Paris know how much it costs to go to Paris. So I'm lost, right? I'm watching. I don't get it. Working where I worked, I was never going to get it. Because they were never going to explain why someone would pay that much money to go somewhere that they've either already been or they could pay
literally way less.
Way less. to go to that place.
And I just want to make sure that the listeners know that my mind, I was rock steady and bebop in the moment when she got to what it actually means.
So you watch people do this. And then there was a moment that I realized, like, oh, that place is bidding on behalf of a corporation. Which bidding on behalf of means to me not your pocketbook, right? So on behalf of, I mean, this wasn't the case, so I feel like I can just say, like, on the behalf of Walgreens, you're bidding a whole lot of money. I wonder why they're bidding so much money. On my third time going to a gala that had an auction, I was like, I don't get it. Is someone going to explain this to me? I don't know. Maybe I'm just like 1,000% more poor than everyone here. But I don't understand why we're paying. Like, I know exactly where they could get the thing that they're bidding on for like so much less.
Just Expedia would be less.
And it was like, oh, well, it's for a good cause. Okay.
Cool.
I mean,
cool,
cute. Cool. And then I thought it through, and then I didn't get there. And then I learned, Canathan.
What'd you learn?
It's taxes. It's literally a tax dodge. Every large donation, not just from a corporation,
yeah, but
from a person, is very much likely a tax dodge. Including every single time you go to a store and it's like, do you want to donate to blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
You need to tell them, LOL, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want my money. I think we talked about this on this show before.
Yeah. But like,
I don't want my money to go in your name.
Yeah.
And you get the tax write-off. Walgreens, we're just gonna keep using.
I was about to say, especially Safeway be going hard, and then I'll be going something like, anybody that know me know I be having to hit the store multiple times in a day a lot, and when they be doing their joints, and I used to feel some type of way about having to hit no of like, do you want to help feed hungry children? Yes, I do, but
yeah, not- but not from you.
Yeah,
not in your name, not in my money and your name, and that's how I want y'all to think about it every single time. You go somewhere, McDonald's, where they're like, you want to give to Ronald McDonald House? No. Why don't you want to give to that? Because they are getting a tax deduction and a tax credit, both. Those are two different things, yes? And they get both. And you paid for it. What'd you get? Absolutely zero.
You got a smoothie machine that don't work.
You got that. You can't get your ice cream. You can't get your smoothie. And all of a sudden your money is in. No. These are multi-billion dollar corporations who already get outlandish, like, tax breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are now adding on
with big monies. Because you think about how many people circulate through these stores, a McDonald's, a Safeway, a Walgreens, and just thinking, yes. Oh, you're quick to round it up. But think about, I mean, that could be anywhere from 99 cent to 50 cent per transaction. And it might not seem like a lot from a single person, but once you now multiply that by tens of thousands of people.
And that's the point. That's the point. Because that's their point. You are not only paying for their tax deduction, you're being harmed by their tax deduction. Because wherever you live, that McDonald's does not pay a thriving wage to anybody that works there, right? So now you're paying for their tax deduction. You're no longer paying for your own tax deduction. And the people that live in your community that work there do not make enough money. So what does that mean? They need assistance. And so if those people are getting assistance in any way, if that is healthcare, if that is food, if that is TANF, like if you are getting any assistance on top of the fact that you're working, these are the people that a Ron DeSantis, any conservative Republican or a conservative politician is going to tell you is a problem, right? Except for you're working, you're donating, you're doing all of the things that you as a citizen think you are supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, it's not what you're supposed to do.
Is there a way?
You don't get that money back, but you know who does? McDonald's, right? Ronald. Like, if you gave the money to the Ronald McDonald House when they were like, do you want to give the money? I want you to think about it this way. They're asking you, do you want to give money instead of us?
Ooh.
Because that's how I feel it.
Bars, do you want to give money on our behalf?
You want to give money on our behalf because you don't get credit for it. So however much money you give when you go to Safeway, when you go to McDonald's, with any of those places, you don't get credit for that, but they do. And are those the people that should get credit? And by people, I mean corporation. Should they get the credit?
And those probably be representatives of these organizations at these larger fundraisers, like $400,000 we are going to buy this trip for three to Cabo. Yes. Is there a way to Cabo
from Portland? Because I feel like I know the price for that. It is not that. Is it that?
Because in my brain, the answer is no, because it would be considered wages. But it's like, I've never seen them do a fundraiser for workers, like for their employees. I'm like, this is for childcare or this is for whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be down for that. I might tell them, round it up $2. But I'm sure that there's some type of legal thing that's like, that's going to be counted as wage and it's going to be taxed. So I feel that's the dumb part.
Which that is
one of y'all smart people should figure out how to create a shell account for y'all employees to get the monies.
Well, I mean, they don't care for that to happen.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Like, but it could be a good PR move if anybody's out there listening that's working their way up that corporate ladder. You know, you might want to figure that out. Your employees will go crazy for it.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. It's just in the world that we live in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that employee.
Drug.
Oh, wait, what?
I was saying in this world that we live in, cocaine is a hell of a drug. That's it.
So I want to see that employee because I don't know those companies that do exactly that. Right? Yeah. Like, so there's the employees don't even get the opportunity. And it's just, we're going to act like everything's normal and just do this thing. And it's like, you're doing tax evasion at this point. That is exactly what these places are doing. That's what incredibly wealthy people are doing. That's tax evasion. And as much as I want to be like, ooh, you smart. No. No. If you have this much money, the last thing you need to be doing is not paying tax. And I don't know. No, I do know. I didn't mean to say I don't know. I know why people don't want to pay taxes.
I get it.
I get it. But we should all get it. The taxes don't, if they don't.
I just want to not pay Social Security, or I want to pay Social Security that's my Social Security pot. Because if y'all keep talking about Social Security ain't going to be around for me, and I pay a very large portion of my paycheck to that, to know that to have this lingering thing that I don't get to benefit from all this money that's going out, that's one of the biggest deductions out of my job. Like, what? And there's a possibility. So I wish there was something that was set up, kind of how they say that unemployment is set up, where each paycheck, this little portion is going towards building up, blah, blah, blah. But put something that I know that at the end, I'm able to benefit from in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And not just the people who were not having to make a S ton of money to just live regular without any luxuries, that are able to be old and benefit from all that money being taken out. So anyways, I digress.
I have no idea what I was saying before that, but agree.
Sorry.
Hard agree.
That was a tangent. Like, sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess my point is I fully agree with that in the way that I've been paying into Social Security the entire time I've been working.
That
I, as me, bootstrap over here,
bootstrap puller.
Yo, bootstrap
puller extraordinaire.
I've been working since I was able to. So I was working before this, but in the
started in the cotton fields.
You know? Okay.
I legit didn't mean to say cotton.
Oh,
I meant to say corn.
You did.
I meant to say corn. I promise.
What was that about to mean? You know? What was corn gonna mean? Go get candidate. I have tried. I've tried for years, in person, not in person. I will hang up. I will disconnect the call. It doesn't matter. None of the behavior changes. That wasn't the point.
Sorry. That's hilarious.
No, but in real life, like, there's no, what is the reprieve, right? Like, what is the thing that does it? Mm-mm. If I tell you I have land, pay me in your, right? Like, whatever in your mind you're about to calculate. Yeah, I have this. That's not what happens. Like, and I just want, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, why would people be paid for land, or what's the correlation?
Yeah.
If you hear the word reparations and you're like, yuck, off top. Yuck. Would never. I hate it. Right? Mm-hmm. I want everybody hearing my voice right now to understand. People that enslaved other people got paid reparations. Flat out. Flat out. Dogs. Flat out. Like, people that were enslaved were promised 40 acres and a mule, which is for us an actual inside joke at this point.
Bars.
We laugh about it. Somebody better run me my 40 acres and a mule real quick.
That'd be a big come up.
If you really think about what 40 acres and a mule means, it means land, and a way to till it. None of us needed the like, how do you? Because y'all didn't know. I'm doing my very best to not scream, and I'm doing my very best to not cuss. Y'all didn't know.
Okay.
So 40 acres and a mule means the way that you can thrive.
A lot.
Because now you have a place. You can build a house. You don't want a house that way. You want a trailer. You want a cabin. You want whatever. Who cares? Your land. You got 40 acres. That's a lot. You got a mule. You know what that mule can do? A lot.
Did anybody ever expect like the mule, one mule was expected to handle 40 acres?
Nah, I think really what that was a colonizer's way, which I'm going to always find it faulty, right?
Yeah.
But I think that was a colonizer's way of being like, I mean, I'll give you something.
Figured out. Okay.
But what I know I certainly can do is figure out how to breed these situations. I can figure out how to have more. I can figure out how to have more than one of you. But more than anything in the moment, here we are, like, I got all this land. I got a thing. Number one, never happened. Never happened. Number two, the money went to the people that enslaved folks. And that is a piece that does not get told on a regular basis. So it's legitimately like, I wonder.
They basically got welfare for losing their free labor.
Take the basically out of it. They got welfare.
Yeah.
For losing free labor.
Yes.
And then made billions.
Buku bucks.
The amount of money made off of Black people not making money is outlandish. So when we say things like run the reparations, it's like, whoa, why do you got, you're all hands out. Let me tell you about hands out. The people who got paid from slavery are slave owners. If y'all don't feel a way about that, you're just dead ass wrong.
Yeah.
If you don't feel, if you don't immediately go, excuse me? What? Why? What? You're wrong. Because if your thought is that makes sense, you're wrong. If your thought is that was the right thing to do with money, you're wrong. If your thought is in this moment, in not on the 20 and 23, where we're like, run the reparations, because we can give you too many different things that have happened and you have an issue, you're wrong. You're wrong. And the reason you're wrong is, I guess, the books that are getting burned right now. That's why y'all don't want us to read those, I guess. I don't know. But in all honesty, if you are a person who then benefited not just from slavery, but you benefited from the end of slavery. Like, imagine that the people that benefited from the end of slavery weren't people enslaved. Imagine that you, a person who enslaved other people, get to benefit from the end of you enslaving people. That is cuckoo bananas.
And they got tricky with sharecropping. It gets tricky. It's tricky and it's slippery.
The fact that my grandmother was born on sharecroppers' land to slave parents who were no longer slaves. And I put this in real big quotes.
Yeah.
Because now we're on sharecroppers' land.
Yeah.
When she died at 100, it wasn't that weird that we could think about slavery in her death, right? Because
yeah,
as much as slavery wasn't legal, y'all know that slavery was still popping.
Right. I mean,
y'all know it was still going. And if you don't, like, L-O-L-S-M-H, like, I don't know what the thing, like...
Like, look at anything. Look at what happened with Prohibition. Look how popping and thriving that something that was banned and made illegal. How thriving of an economy. Shout out to Jack Daniels. Keep going.
Like, y'all wasn't even close to, like, worried about the legalities. Right? Like, that. Like that's not a thing when it's not a thing. And then all of a sudden, when it's true, like, slavery isn't legal, but there are still, y'all don't have any words for it. There's no chapters for it. There's, but all of that, every single piece of it,
runs itself down. That wealth.
And it's wealth that the people that worked that hard don't get to get. And so in a moment where we're at a auction and you're like, why are all these people giving money and paying for things that are more expensive than what they actually cost? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's absolutely just a tax haven. You go as a wealthy person to a fundraiser and you spend money on things that trips, things, whatever it is, you may never take that trip.
Yeah.
Because the trip was never the point. Whatever the prize, whatever the take home is never the point. The point is I got to offload.
Yeah.
I don't want to offload to the government. Like I, cause that's the biggest part to me. You're offloading no matter what, right? You have so much money that no matter what, either you're giving it away to a person, a thing, a whatever, or it's taxes. And you're like, what I won't do is pay taxes. So I will give to a thing that doesn't even really matter to me. And then I don't have to worry about how much money I have to pay in taxes. Because now I've given hundreds of thousands of dollars to charity.
That. Well, I'm going to put it there because we got to get up out of here. Sit with those words, people, as walking through, as we talk money and talk wealth and talk donations and being charitable and what that actually means from these big corporations. So with that being said, thank you all for rocking with us for another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow us on the Instagram. Follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Follow me in the streets, or you can jump online and follow me at I Technically Can. Also, shout out and follow our sponsor, the Nine Brand. That's at the IXBRAND. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Yeah, baby.